Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life, so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me, and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy Word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon.
Now, there was a student in college, not me, but there's a student in college who just disobeyed his professor's rules all through the semester, and he ended up failing the class. And the student didn't want to face his parents because he knew he'd be in trouble, and so he went to the professor and said, "Please, is there anything I can do to get a passing grade in this class?" Now, this scenario happens quite often in colleges across the land. And the teacher is completely within their rights to say, "No, you didn't do the work during the semester. You're getting a failing grade." Or sometimes the professor may say, "I tell you what, if you do this report on this subject, then I'll give you a passing grade." Now, did that professor have to give them that chance, or was that out of the grace of their heart? That was a free gift, wasn't it? That was a free gift. And after the professor said that to the student, does the student automatically get the passing grade? No, they have to go out and do the report, right? And yet it was through grace. And even after the student did the report and gets the passing grade, do they now deserve the fact that the professor gave them that opportunity? They don't, do they? Why can't people understand what Paul said when he said, "By grace you are saved through faith"? Because so many people in the religious world today misunderstand the concept of obeying God's commands. And so many say it's not necessary, because if you start talking about having to obey commands, then you do away with grace. And Paul said we're saved by grace. Yes, but don't you see that Paul said we're saved by grace through faith? That means we have to do something. You see, it was by grace that God gave us the opportunity. You see, we had been disobedient all this time through the whole semester. All we've done is disobey, and we got the failing grade. But then through grace, God gave us the opportunity to obey and be saved. And so when we obey, do the report, as it were, we're not earning our salvation. But if we don't do it, we're going to get the failing grade. We're still going to be lost. And so it's by the grace of God, not that we're automatically saved without doing anything, it's by the grace of God that we have the opportunity to obey and have salvation. It's that simple. But many people in the world, they mistake that, and they think if you do anything at all, you've annulled God's grace. That's just not so. That's like saying if that student goes and does that book report, then they annul the grace of the professor for giving them the chance to do the book report. And that makes no sense. The Bible emphasizes that it matters when it comes to keeping God's commandments. And that's our title this morning of the lesson. Does keeping God's commandments matter? And the answer is yes. It does matter. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters." Now, some men say keeping the commandments don't matter. The Bible says keeping the commandments matter. Now, who are you going to believe? I'll take the Bible, because God wrote the Bible, and I'm interested in what God has to say on the subject. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to go to the Bible, and I want us to notice seven truths about the fact that it matters when it comes to keeping God's commandments. In the first place, keeping God's commandments matters in order to show that we love God. Now, you can say all day long, "I love God." You can honk twice if you love God. You can stick it on your bumper sticker, "I love God." You can have it tattooed across your forehead, "I love God." But if you don't keep the Lord's commandments, you don't love God. The way that we express our love to God is by keeping His commandments. So says the Bible. Remember the Jesus, the Lord, when He was on the earth teaching in John chapter 14? In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You see that? Now go on down to verse 21, it gets better. The Lord said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Now wait a minute, who is it that really loved Jesus? Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," that's who loves Jesus. Not the person who says, I love Jesus, and then they go out and just live however they want to. Or they refuse to do the things that He says in His gospel. They can say it all day long, but they don't love Jesus unless they keep His commandments. John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." What's the love of God? That we keep His commandments. How can people say keeping commandments don't matter, when the Bible says it's the love of God that we keep His commandments? You can't really say you love God if you don't keep His commandments. It's just absolutely essential. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 22? Remember, Jesus was asked the question, and like most of the questions He was asked, the question was meant to test Him, to try to catch Him in His words. But this young lawyer comes to Him and says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Matthew 22:36. Verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." We are commanded to love God, and in order to express and to show our love for God, we must keep His commandments. But in the second place, as we think about keeping God's commandments mattering, it matters to show that we love the brethren. By the way, Justin loves, when we're on the way to services, he said, "Give me your sermon," so I'll give you my sermon outline, the one you have there in the bulletin. And he'll read over it, and this morning he's reading over it, and he says, "What does matter mean?" I thought, that's a good question. Maybe people need to be reminded of that. When something matters, that means it is important and essential. It matters. When I say to somebody, "You matter to me," that means you are important to me. You are essential to me. Well, it matters. Keeping God's commandments matters to show that we love the brethren. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. John said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." And so keeping God's commandments show that we love the people of God. Turn over to John chapter 15. And notice verses 12 to 14. Jesus had so much to say about love, and John recorded it. Well, in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Now that's a sacrificial love we ought to have for one another. We love one another so much we're willing to give our lives for one another. Especially of our time, to go help one another out, to come to one another's aid when we're in need, rather than thinking that's inconvenient and that's the wrong time. No, this is your brother. You make sacrifices to help them. We're commanded to do that. We're commanded to show and to express that love. And we show that we love the brethren when we keep the Lord's commands and when we keep God's commands. Jesus commanded His disciples in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." Notice Jesus said, "as I have loved you." That's a sacrificial love, again, because Jesus sacrificed Himself for us through His love. And then He says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People look at us on the outside in the world, look at us and see how we love one another, how we care for one another. And Jesus said, that's like a badge that tells them we're Christians. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And keeping God's commandments show that we love the brethren. John talked about the importance of loving our brethren over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, when he says, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness unto now. So you can't say you're in the light. You can't say I'm a Christian and fail to express love toward your brother. So again, in talking about does keeping God's commandments matter? Well, keeping God's commandments matters, in the third place, to follow Jesus' example. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. John says, he who says he abides in him, that is in Christ, he who says I'm a Christian, ought also to walk just as he walked. So if one is really going to claim to be a Christian, then he has to walk as Jesus walked, right? He has to do as Jesus says. Well, what about all these people out here who claim to be Christians and say, well, you shouldn't talk about keeping commandments. It's grace. It's all grace. They try to pit the two against each other. They misunderstand, as I said in the beginning. And so they say, to be a Christian isn't about keeping commandments, they'll tell you. Well, the Bible says here in 1 John 2 that we just read that if you claim to be in the light, if you claim to be a Christian, you have to walk exactly as Jesus walked. Well, look how Jesus walked. John chapter 15, verse 10. The Lord said this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Watch this. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you claim to be a Christian and you say commandment keeping doesn't matter, then you're following some other Christ other than the one in the Bible. Because the Christ in the Bible said that you must keep my commandments just as I have kept my Father's commandments. So you see, keeping God's commandments matters. Because Jesus kept God's commandments and we're told to follow Jesus' example to keep God's commandments. And so it is inconsistent, incongruent, and in whatever else you can think of. It's just wrong to say that being a Christian is not about keeping commandments when the Bible says the exact opposite. Walk as Jesus walked, and Jesus himself saying, I have kept my Father's commandments. Let's move on to number 4. And thinking about does keeping God's commandments matter? Well, keeping God's commandments matters if we want to know God. Now, people want to know God, and they claim to know God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, John said, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, how clear is that? How can I know that I know God? How can I know that I know Christ? John said, keep his commandments. Well, commandment keeping isn't necessary. That's wrong to teach that. Well, not if you want to know God. Because keeping God's commandments matters if you want to know him. If you don't keep them, you can't know him. Look at verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know him and I know him. People in the religious world, name the denomination. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I know and have known men from all these denominations who are some of the most wonderful, kindest people I know, some of the best friends I've had. And they'll tell you that it's wrong to teach that you have to keep commandments because that does away with the grace of God. And although they're very kind and although many of them are very humble and they're good friends, when it comes to religious matters, God says they're a liar. So don't let that kindness and that humility that they have woo you into believing their lies. Because the Bible says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So what about the man that says, I know him, but teaches, oh, you shouldn't talk about keeping commandments. That's not important. The Bible says he's a liar. And you know, that really is a shame. I want to truly know God. I want to be called a son of God. I want to be a child of God. Don't you? Well, Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 3:26 and 27, reminds them how they became sons of God. He said, "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How did they get into Christ? By the way, is salvation on the outside of Christ? Can you have it on the outside? 2 Timothy 2:10, salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You have to be in Christ to have salvation. How did these people get into Christ? It said that they were baptized into Christ. Matter of fact, did you know that baptism is a commandment? It's not an option. I had a friend of mine years ago who preaches in one of the man-made denominations, and he told me that they present baptism as an option. If the person wants to be baptized, fine. If he doesn't, that's okay too. Well, from what we just read, if he wants to be in Christ and have salvation, he's got to be baptized into Christ. So already we know it's not an option, but we know also it's a command. In Acts chapter 10, verse 47, as Peter is there with the household of Cornelius, he says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Look at verse 48. "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." He didn't offer it as an option. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, no wonder he commanded them to do so, because that's what puts one in Christ and gets them saved. Remember Acts chapter 9, verse 6, when Saul was out persecuting the church and the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him. Remember what the Lord said to Saul? Read it in your Bible, Acts chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "Go into the city and you will be told what you must do." Did say you'll be given a choice of what you want to do or what you don't want to do. He said, "You will be told what you must do." Then you read on through Acts chapter 9. You see how the Lord spoke to a man named Ananias and urged Ananias to go to Saul with a message. And then a little bit later, Saul, who we now know as Paul, is recounting these things. And Saul talks about how Ananias, whom the Lord sent him to go tell Saul what he must do. Well, I'm curious. What did Ananias tell Saul that he must do? Aren't you curious? Well, we know we have the answer. Look at Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Paul is recounting this version, and Ananias came to him. In verse 16 it said, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Remember, Saul was going to be told what he must do. What was he told? Arise and be baptized. It's a commandment, right? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. If I want to know God, I've got to keep His commandments. I've got to keep the commandment to be baptized, in order, as this verse says, to wash away my sins. Let's move on to number 5. We're talking about, does keeping God's commandments matters? Well, it matters, number 5, if we want to abide in Christ. It's not just about that initial obedience, being baptized and becoming a Christian. But it's also about continued obedience, sustained obedience throughout life. It's not biblical to say that one can get saved and then just live how he wants, because once saved, always saved. He can never so sin as to lose his salvation. I know that's a very popular doctrine, but the Bible never teaches such a doctrine. The Bible tells us we must be faithful unto death. The Lord Himself said that in Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death. Unto when? Until death. And I'll give you the crown of life. The Bible doesn't teach the have your cake and eat it too religion, right? I mean, honestly, if once saved, always saved is true, I can get saved and then I can go out and live any way I want to. I mean, I can enjoy the pleasures of sin, whether it be fornication or lying or stealing or drinking, or just live it up. After all, I'm once saved, always saved. I can never lose my salvation. Does that make any sense to anybody in here? Doesn't to me. The Bible doesn't teach such a thing. I must abide in Christ. I must be faithful to the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Talking about keeping God's commandments mattering. And here John says, "Now he who keeps his commandments," watch this, "abides in Him, and He in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." How do I abide in Christ? Continue to abide in Christ by keeping His commandments. I go on keeping His commandments that He has outlined in His gospel, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To do anything else is to not abide in Him and to lose my eternal salvation. John chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. The Lord speaking again says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." He tells us to abide in it. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command." So Jesus tells us that we must abide in His love, and then He turns right around and tells us how to do that. "If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love." So in order to abide in Christ, in order to abide in His love, to continue to be faithful to Him, we must what? We must keep His commandments. Now, some in the New Testament who didn't want to abide only in Christ and only in His teaching, they wanted to reach back to the old system, to the Old Testament, to the law of Moses, and grab circumcision and grab certain feast days, and then try to impose those teachings of the Old Testament on Gentile Christians. And the entire book of Galatians was written to refute that concept. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." And so if we need parts of the old law, Christ died in vain. And then he really indicts those who teach such over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. He said, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law," that is by the law of Moses. We know he's not talking about the law of Christ, because in the very next chapter, he talks about fulfilling the law of Christ, Galatians 6 verse 2. And so we must fulfill the law of Christ. Over in Galatians 5 verse 4, he's talking about the law of Moses, as the context bears out. "You who attempt to be justified by the law," that is of Moses, he said, "you have fallen from grace." See that? These people were failing to abide in Christ and to abide in His doctrine and to abide in His love. And they wanted to reach back to Moses' law and bring it in. And so that means they weren't abiding in Christ anymore. And the result, Paul said, "you have fallen from grace." Men say you can't fall from grace. Paul said you can fall from grace. How? By not keeping the commandments of Christ and His commandments alone. Let's move on to number 6. As we think about does keeping commandments matters? Well, in the sixth place, keeping God's commandments matters if we want eternal life. Now, who is interested in eternal life? I want to tell you something. No offense against you, brethren. I love you very much. But if I weren't interested in eternal life, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't. One of the reasons, there's other reasons, but one of the reasons, and it's way up there, I'm here this morning is because I'm interested in going to heaven forever. Is that true about you? Well, the Bible tells us how we can finally get that eternal life. Look at Acts 22, or Revelation 22, verse 14. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments," or keep His commandments, "that they may have the right to the tree of life." You know what the tree of life is a symbol for? Eternal life, heaven. Who gets it? Well, the verse says those who do His commandments. Now, does keeping the commandments matter when it comes to having eternal life? Well, this verse tells us if we want eternal life, we have to keep the commandments of God. You can't have it. You know, when you talk about keeping God's commandments, there are other words that mean the same thing. I might say the word obey. You know what that means? Keeping God's commandments. I might say use the word do, doing God's will. You know what that means? Keeping God's commandments. It all means the same thing. And in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." Read that in your Bible. Hebrews 5, verse 9. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who faith only Him. No. No. To all who obey Him, right? That's who gets salvation. What's obey mean? Keep God's commandments. Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus said very plainly, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, people today will tell you, all you got to do is say, "Lord, Lord," and you're saved. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Lord, who? Who gets to enter? Well, read on. He goes on to say there, but he who does, there's your word, does. What's that mean? Keep God's commandments. He who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's who's going to have eternal life. That's who's going to have the tree of life. Those who do his commandments. Finally, this morning, one more point in the lesson's yours. We're talking about, does keeping God's commandments matter? Well, keeping God's commandments matters, in the seventh place, if we want to avoid eternal punishment. I want to. I've read about eternal punishment in the Bible many times. It talks about darkness there. It talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. It talks about flaming fire. There's all kinds of unsavory things said about eternal punishment. I don't want any of it. I want to avoid that. Well, how do I avoid that? Keeping God's commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Again, we read it a moment ago. We'll read it again. John said, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So we know God if we keep his commandments. But notice that phrase, know him. How important is it to know God when it comes to avoiding eternal punishment? Well, look at what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Now here, Paul is picturing the Lord Jesus being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not what? Who do not know God. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen to those who do not know God? Next verse, he says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So those who do not know God will be punished with everlasting destruction. And so if I want to avoid that, I have to what? I have to know God. Well, how do I know God? Well, John just said, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How can people walk around out there today and tell other people that it's not necessary to keep commandments and that's not necessary when the Bible clearly says that if you want to avoid eternal punishment, you've got to know God, and it clearly says that in order to know God, you must keep his commandments. Now, that's just plain and clear. How can people go out and lie to folks like that? I don't want to lie to you this morning. I'm here to preach the Bible, and I hope that that's what I've done. And I hope that from the Bible I've shown you very clearly that when it comes to keeping God's commandments, it matters. It matters. It matters if you want to show God that you love Him. It matters if you want to show that you love the brethren, that you love God's people. Keeping God's commandments matters in order to follow Jesus' example. It matters if you want to know God. It matters if you want to abide in Christ and be faithful to Him. It matters if you want eternal life. It matters if you want to avoid eternal punishment. Keeping God's commandments matters. And by the way, it always has mattered. Always has from the very beginning. It's mattered. God gave Adam and Eve a commandment. You shall not eat of this fruit. Grows on the tree in the midst of the garden, and the day that you eat of it, you'll die. They failed to keep that commandment, and they died. Keeping God's commandments matters, doesn't it? Israel was told that if you keep my commandments, and that's the phraseology that was used in Deuteronomy, you'll be blessed. If you don't keep them, you'll be cursed. They failed to keep them, they were cursed. It matters. It has always mattered. Saul was told, when Saul was coronated as the first king, he was told by Samuel, keep God's commandments. And just a couple of chapters later, the same prophet was telling him, God has taken away your kingship. He's found somebody else that's after his own heart who will keep his commandments. All through the Bible, we are shown that it matters that we keep God's commandments. And guess what? Everything we looked at this morning shows us it still matters today. God wants us to keep his commandments. Let's pray.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.